The culture in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, was a lot more trusting. It was pre-Watergate.
That I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. I have never been a quitter.
There was a lot of people on the highways that were hitching. It was like putting your faith and your trust in your fellow man.
He didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride.
I think it was a product of its time, that it was the right vehicle in the right place in the right time.
He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation.
Because there was somebody driving it who was willing to stop. And not only willing to stop, but obligated to stop. It was like we made a vow. Yeah. We see anybody hitchhiking, we'll pick them up. My name is Richard Dubay. Looks like Doobie, but it's pronounced Dubay. You think of cafe or attaché or resume. They have an E that has an accent at the end. So that's my name. Back in the early 70s, a friend of mine was a scoutmaster, well, an assistant scoutmaster. And you'd have to know this guy to really appreciate him. He stood about 6'4". And had this big bushy beard and this bushy head of hair. Yeah, he was kind of wild looking. His nickname was Sleazy Rider. He rode a Kawasaki dirt bike everywhere. And Easy Rider was in vogue, and you know, Peter Fonda and you know, Dennis Hopper and those guys. It was like, you know, that was it was an easy thing to slip into, Sleazy Rider. But he and I were good friends, and anyway, he came to me and he says, Richard, would you go with me out to Iowa? I need to go get a bus. What are you talking about? He says, I was with a scout troop, and we went out west, and we had this big tour, and we went to Garden of the Gods and Grand Canyon and all these really cool places. And he says, but the bus broke down in Iowa. I says, well, how are we going to get it? He says, well, we're going to have to hitchhike out because the scouts don't have any money to pay for us to, you know, get out there. And I says, well, that's cool. I says, there's something I want to try. I've thought about this. It came to me as this epiphany, and it was like, this will work. I says, we have to stop at Kroger's and get a pineapple. And he goes, a pineapple? What for? I says, I think it's going to help us hitchhike. So we went into Kroger's and got ourselves a pineapple, the best-looking pineapple that I could find. And my vision that I had was standing by the side of the road, holding the pineapple up for drivers to see and pointing at it and just mouthing the word pineapple. So we tried it. It was the first car that went by stopped. And we got in. And we went probably about 200 miles. He says, well, I got to get off here, guys. I'm going to drop you off. And I said, well, great. We got out. I got out the pineapple, pointed at the pineapple. First car went by. I said, pineapple. And the car, first car, stopped and says, you guys want to ride? I said, yeah. He goes, what's with the pineapple? I don't know, but it gets us rides. Every time, it would be like the first car that we would see would be the ride because of the pineapple. And we got to this one spot, and this was just before we got into Iowa, and the guy dropped us off, and I looked up in the sky, and there was a cloud that went from horizon to horizon like a big tube that was just rolling over and over and over. It was like a tornado on its side. And I said, pineapple, don't fail me now. And sure enough, first car went by, saw the pineapple, pulled over, gave us a ride. So we got to Des Moines, Iowa in one day from southeastern Ohio. And that is a feat and a half. And we did it in 6 rides. Now, I don't know where the inspiration came from, but I found out later that pineapple is the universal sign for hospitality. We get to Des Moines, and we didn't know anybody there. So he says, well, we've got to go find a place to stay. And my friend, Sleazy, he said, I've got an idea. He says, let's go to the Children's Hospital. And I said, Children's Hospital? There were people there that it was like, obviously, they'd been there all night. He says, so this would be a place to hang out, and no one's going to question us. Not that I'm advocating spending the night in children's hospitals, because I'm sure security is much better now than it was then. We get in the lobby, and there are people hanging out there, and there's food that they've left over. We get to eat. We get a nice, warm place to stay. I said, this is fantastic. No one ever challenges the whole time. So the next day, we thought, well, we're ahead of schedule. So we're going to go ahead, and we're just going to walk across Des Moines. And we got to the place, the mechanic's shop, where we were going to be picking up the bus. And he says, boy, you guys got out here awful quick. He says, it's not ready yet. Yeah, I got some parts that are still coming in. So we lived in that school bus for about a week. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't take showers or baths. In this particular case, for about a week, I didn't take a shower or a bath, and Sleazy was really kind of living up to his name, shall we say. So anyway, after about a week of living off of Hostess Twinkies and probably the worst diet that man has ever put into his mouth, finally the bus got repaired. We got off, and we're on the road. Now, when we were hitchhiking, we made a vow that if we had anybody that was hitchhiking, we would stop and we would pick them up. I need you to visualize the vehicle that we're driving in. This is a big yellow school bus. And there's a banner along the side of the bus that reads, Boy Scout Troop 69, Nelsonville, Ohio. Every time we would come across a hitchhiker, every time we saw somebody that was hitchhiking, we would stop. Now, back in the early 70s, there was a wide variety of humanity that had their thumbs out seeking transportation to some given spot. And I think we hit the whole cross-section. We had soldiers, sailors, hippies, winos, derelicts, miscreants, I don't know who all they were. And so there's some poor sap that's out by the side of the road wanting a ride and sees this big yellow school bus pulling over, and you hear this psh, psh. They walk up to the door, and it's one of those crank things, and it's just crank it open, and there's Sleazy behind the wheel, because I didn't have a driver's license, but anyway, Sleazy's behind the wheel, and so this big bushy hair and his beard and his hair is just incredible. And he says, hey, want a ride? And the person, whoever they were, man, woman, child, there were children, and we give them a ride. Now, when this first started, it was an empty school bus. As time went on, we got more and more people. We had that bus nearly filled, close to 60 people in that bus at one time. The one that stands out in particular was, I guess, a dog breeder and did dog shows. And she was traveling from a dog show to another dog show. So we're jammed into this van with all of these Salukis. And so when whoever it was would come in, would step up inside and look down this bus, they would see this huge group of people that did not fit under their vision of, shall we say, Boy Scout Troop 69, Nelsonville, Ohio. So we're driving along. We get to Indianapolis, Indiana, and the bus starts acting up. So we get pull over to the side of the road and lift up the hood of the bus, and I look under there, and sure enough, there's an engine. And nobody on the bus knew anything about mechanics. You know, just our luck, we wouldn't pick anybody up who knew that. And we got off of the highway, and there was a gas station. And this particular station, they also had a mechanic. Well, it turned out the mechanic and the attendant was the same person. So he's in his uniform, you know, he's all anxious because it's a school bus and it's going to take a lot of gas. So he's going to make himself a big sale. So he positions himself by the door of the bus. Now, it just so happened right next to the station, right next to this gas station, was a Greyhound bus station. So most of the people who were in this bus wanted to be moving on. We open the door, and this guy's got a big smile on his face, and I'll never forget the look on his face as the humanity that was on our bus. And his mouth dropped. It was like his gap, this gape jaw just hanging down, and his eyes are wide. And it was like he was just in a totally different world. And finally, my bus driver, Sleazy, he says, "Can you give us some gas? And by the way, we're having some mechanical problems. Do you think you might be able to look at it?" And the guy says, "Okay." And he did. He filled up the tank. He spent 3 hours working on that bus. And finally, when he got it all finished, he says, "Listen, guys, I know you don't have any money," he says, "but you have given me a story that will last me the rest of my life. It's on the house." And again, it was not what he expected, because this was not the Boy Scout Troop 69 from Nelsonville, Ohio. There was an innocence to that time that is long past. Those days are halcyon and long ago.